Welcome to the Smith and Rowland Show. Let's join our host, Alan Smith and Jeff Rowland.
And good morning, Alan Smith. And I just want to say it is an honor. It's an honor to have you today as a special guest on the Smith and Rowland Show.
Well, half of that part's true. I am special.
And, oh, Lord. Yes, you are.
I mean, there's not anybody you can't ask, but what won't? Well, let's don't ask nobody.
Well, that's an interesting thing, concept. And it does lead to this thing. It's according to how you define stuff as to how true it is. In other words, you say you're special. Well, some would define that as being accurate, but it depends on how they mean special as to, you know what I mean?
Well, special could be special good or special bad, according to the definition you want to use today.
That's exactly
right. And this is another, which leads us up to today's article.
Okay, lay it on.
All righty. In Trump Russia scandal, all roads lead to Hillary and Obama. It says, yesterday, we brought you the story, our former U.S. attorney, Brett Tolman, saying that Obama, Biden, Hillary Clinton, Comey, and Clapper and friends had collaborated to frame Donald Trump right in front of us. Today's breaking news, shockingly, Bill's on this. And thank to Dan Bagoni for, if not connecting a couple of new dots, we'd already connected them. At least taking a bold felt tip pen and drawing a thick black line, unmistakably linking it all together. So what are they saying here? It looks like that, which everybody now is saying that report, I guess, kind of clears up Trump if you... But it's like the truth, Jeff, doesn't make any difference these days.
Yeah, it really don't. I mean, what everything the John Durham report revealed, we already knew, but now we can prove it.
And now what you can prove
and there's other things that was brought out. There was some details that was brought out that we maybe didn't know before. But here's what we actually have always known and now can prove is that Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, elements of the CIA, elements of the FBI, all knew that the Russia scandal involving President Trump was a lie. They all knew it. They all continued with this investigation. They all continued to tell the lies. And as a result of that, our government spent multitudes of millions of dollars in investigating and further divided and polarized the nation through all of the accusations. As a result of that, Donald Trump has been vindicated as far as the Durham report is concerned, but nothing going to happen to all the people that knew that this was a lie and continued to perpetrate these lies on the American people. So it reveals a deeper problem, integrity among leadership being one of them, but it's revealed that we also have a two-tiered judicial system in that if you are part of the powerful elite, nothing happens to you. You can do anything to get by with, you know.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't mind. I mean, I would. All right, we know we got a two-tiered system in this country now. I mean, I'm sad to say, and it's an unwritten two-tiered system, of course. But it is considered politically correct among the elite to have this two-tiered system. Now, the part that concerns me, Jeff, I don't mind having. I'm saying this tongue in cheek. I don't mind having a two-tiered system as if the people in the upper tier are qualified to be in the upper tier.
There you go. I know that's right.
Everybody in the upper tier needs to be in ours or lower. It leaves me. The only one that I could see make the upper tier would be Jesus himself.
Yeah.
And so we have people in places of leadership, I think, are overestimating their qualifications and overestimating their so-called giftedness and to leading people. And there, yep. there are good leadership qualities. Me and you both know that since, yep. You know, we both understand that. But there's also to call, what can I say, conniving, to manipulate is my word I was looking for, to manipulate people and to have some people just have a gift of manipulation, yeah.
Yeah.
And, to have, and to have that type giftedness and calling it leadership is what's gotten us in trouble. And it gets us back to our mind, your code word, and that's distinctions. Mm-hmm. It's hard to make a distinction just because you got a suit and tie.
Yeah.
And you're doesn't mean that you're not trying to manipulate people.
Yeah.
And so there's a different way of handling it. And true leadership to me, it's okay, I think, because we do it all the time. We say, I think. I just said, I think. We say, well, I think this or I think that. I get that. But there's another thing to say, God's word says.
Yeah, right. That's right.
And so,
that's right.
So if what you think is based off of what God's word says, I mean, I think that's cool. I think yeah. that's good to do. But when you have manipulation coming on the scene, which we're experiencing a lot of, or it's who can manipulate the best. And then that gets into and so much confusion. Well, let me ask you this, Jeff. What do you think disqualifies? We got the political setting, President of the United States, governor of a state, House, Congress. What do you think disqualifies you to be in a political arena versus what disqualifies you? Like to be, I'm not saying just a pastor in the church. I'm just saying to be any type of staff or point of leadership in a church.
Well, I got to tell you, there is a correlation that I would like for us to talk about. Some of that we've lost in the world system in the way we do things. And what I mean by that is this: when we go to the voting booth to elect our leaders, I'm under the assumption that we're trying to elect those that are most qualified to lead in our nation, in our communities, in our state. That should be the basis. Somewhere along the last, I don't know, 100 years, we've left that as something that is of less importance. We no longer elect people that are most qualified to serve. We're electing people that represent, and I say this in quotation marks, our truth or our opinion, our agenda. That seems to be what we're doing. And what I mean by that, Joe Biden has served all of his life in the Senate. He's made a career in the political world, yet because of the blunders he's made down through his political career, and if you check on it, Alan, he's been on the wrong side of nearly every foreign policy decision that's come down the pike over the last 50 years. He's been wrong. He's been on the wrong side. You can check that. That's not hard to check.
Well, excuse me. Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying that he was probably less equipped and less qualified to be president of the United States of anyone that was running, both on the Democrat and Republican side, yet he was elected. Okay, so there were reasons why, and the American public, I think, have been manipulated into a false sense of why they're voting and how to properly vote on the best leadership for our country. We've lost things like integrity, honesty. Character used to be a vital, significant part of what went into electing a leader. Now, character has absolutely nothing to do with the election process.
Well, let me interrupt you. Does character yeah. mean that you've got a flawless life?
No, absolutely not. It absolutely does not. Yeah, I totally get it.
What distinguishes somebody in character? Yeah. What makes a distinction? That means you're right all the time or you're morally perfect?
No. But can I tell you what I do require in that? Here's what I do require. When a mistake is made, simple accountability for that and responsibility for that, I think, is what is needed. I'll never forget this has been a few cycles back. Well, it's in 2016. Ben Carson was running for president on the Republican side. Ben Carson he's an absolute genius. The man is brilliant. He was asked a question that he was not prepared for. His answer was this: I don't know the answer to that question, but I will find out, and I will get back with you in a few days, and I will give you the right answer. Now, that seems to be missing in today's leaders, this thing of accountability. In other words, every administration that comes along, every presidential administration that comes along, now blames the previous administration for the mistakes that they're making. We see that really prevalent in the Biden administration. He pulls out of Afghanistan and it's a complete disaster. He blames Donald Trump for it. Okay, well, Donald Trump wasn't president when the pullout happened. Mm-hmm. And Donald Trump didn't leave multitudes of billions of dollars of equipment in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump didn't arrange the pullout where 13 Marines get killed. That wasn't Donald Trump. That was Joe Biden was president when that happened. He was in charge of the pullout, yet he blames Donald Trump for it. That shows to me a flaw in character that is.
So you're saying when a leader then needs to own whatever situation he finds himself in.
Absolutely.
If you don't own the, it doesn't make no difference who caused the problem.
No, that's right.
So what you're suggesting is that a leader needs to own the problems that he finds himself introduced to.
That's exactly right.
And so, when you're constantly blaming others, and which that is kind of a biblical principle, though, also, Jeff, we need to own problems. And when we own problems, now there's a interesting biblical perception here is you only have authority over what you own.
So
here we see that we find ourselves as a leader and then we're voted in, elected in, or whatever, or you can be a pastor of a church.
Right.
And you're called in and you've got problems. Well, if you're the leader in the top spot, I think it's key that you own the problems that you have either been elected into or called into, and to shift blame. I think this is important. To shift blame is to shift ownership.
Absolutely.
And so when that happens in spiritual language, you only have authority over what you own.
That's exactly right.
So we need, it's just like like a family. The father needs to own the sins of the family.
That's right.
So therefore, he has authority over the sins of the family.
That's exactly right.
A governor needs to own the sins of a state. A president needs to own the problems of a country. And then
that's exactly
in the heavenlies, the way the scriptures gives us revelation is you only have authority over what you own. That's the reason when we repent even of wrongdoing, it's saying that we've owned our wrongdoing. Spiritually speaking, I think this is huge. Yeah. Spiritually speaking, what you own, you have authority over. Mm-hmm. So if I own what I'm doing wrong, or if I've owned what I've done wrong, then the truth is it's highly possible, 99.9%, if I truly owned it and repented or whatever, then the chances of that not happening again, or it shifting or changing to a better thing, is highly, highly, highly possible.
Yes,
because it's taken the proper spiritual pathway of ownership, repentance. And then when that happens, according to the word of God, not according to our political system, but according to the word of God, then what happens is you are now not disqualified. But not only that, as God does, for some reason, for those that have been forgiven much will love much. That doesn't make sense to the world system. So to me, what we're looking for is, number one, somebody that will own the problems, whether it's self-induced or others have induced it, makes no difference. You're going to own them. And then when you own them, to me, what we're looking for after that is truth and honesty.
Truth and honesty.
Not, that's not exactly perfection.
Right. That's right. But,
and
that's
here's, here's, right. Reason I, here's the reason I say that, Jeff. Nobody on the planet's ever been perfect. So therefore,
that's right.
Perfection cannot be the point of qualification. Truthfulness right. and honesty
yes.
can be.
That's right.
If and
those
truthful.
Are elements of it, those are elements of integrity. And I got to say this part, Alan. If we try to cover up what we've done wrong by blaming it on somebody else, we are trying to present ourselves as perfect, which is self-righteousness.
Yeah.
If
we
own the problem, repent of the problem, we are trusting a righteousness that is beyond what we can do. And that is manifested to us through the act of forgiveness and repentance. And that element is true in both the kingdom and in the world system. Those things correlate. Yep. Can I just point something else out in leadership, what I'm looking for in leadership in America, in a state, and even in the church? The scriptures points out that there is wisdom in the counsel of others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that we have lost the ability to be able to sit down with each other and rationalize on what we believe is true and be able to come to some kind of wisdom by hearing what others are saying. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be lost in our world today.
Yes. That's key, Jeff. If you're a good leader, you're better at listening than you are at spouting out orders.
That's right.
In other words, 75% of your time as a good leader needs to listen. And same way at preaching, if you're always talking and you can't quiet yourself to listen when God's speaking,
that's right.
If you're running your preaching and your church, or whether you're running for political office, and if you're running all that out of your pride or how much you think you know, there again, we believe, and we've experienced it, that a believer or not, I believe God can speak to humanity.
I mean,
it's obvious that Nebuchadnezzar wasn't a believer, but guess what? God spoke to him in a dream.
That's exactly right. Now, you know what he did? He sought counsel from others the dream.
And that's the reason I think we need to take in some understanding is if you have people with a homosexual lifestyle or whatever your deal might be, if you have honest questions of, hey, can somebody help me or something or whatever, I don't want, which you and I have experienced this is the reason I said we've had homosexuals come to us and.
Yeah.
I remind you of a time we were there at church and this one guy got down on his hands and knees. And if you could beg, he begged for some help. Now, but here's the scary part is when people come for help, instead of condemning the people, can we produce the help that's needed? And I'll that's be honest right. with you, Jeff, the church is coming up hugely short in the power or the anointing or we at least need to listen and pray. But really and truly, we're coming up somewhat short. Or let's say today, Jeff, half of the congregation about is addicted to something. And a true leader needs to make an assessment of where we are. And what is it that the church can do about contributing to help have a good outcome with all these problems? So anyway, I'm just wondering, and there again, Jeff, I don't know. This is really not going to get us any brownie points, but truthfully, let's say of an addiction group or whatever, the best leaders are those that's come out of the addiction.
There's no doubt about that. And that brings up important things that I don't know how much time we've got here, but
you got about 4 minutes.
Okay. Well, let me just say that we're talking about leadership in the nation and how it correlates to the kingdom, how maybe leadership in the kingdom correlates to the nation. we have to understand that the Word of God is true, regardless of if you're a believer or an unbeliever.
We have to say
that those elements, those principles of truth that are laid out in the Scripture, works for believers or unbelievers, not because we believe or don't believe, but because it's the Word of God, and the Word of God is the standard of all truth. So So there's a lot of cross-pollination here that we can draw from, and it's why I think that and we're talking about the world system, that kingdom principles from kingdom people need to be applied to their voting habits and to their involvement even in the world system. We just did a podcast the other day on dominionism where we touched on involvement in the world system. I've got to tell you that I believe Christian people are mandated to take the principles of the Word of God with them into the voting booth to choose leaders that are qualified as far as those standards are concerned. Now, everybody would say, okay, well, there's nobody that's qualified from the... And here, again, my point is, perfection is not the standard, but the closest thing to honest integrity is the standard. I don't know how you feel about this, but how refreshing would it be to hear a politician come out and say, you know what, I absolutely blew it on this decision I made. I am sorry for making that decision, and here's what I plan to do to correct it. Now, I got to tell you, I could get behind that in a heartbeat, and I think it would be refreshing to the system. Will that ever happen? I don't know.
Well,
but
that's
right. But I can tell you that honesty and integrity, and somebody will just simply tell you the truth, is what's required. And I hate to beat a dead horse here, but Robert F. Kennedy made that statement concerning his father. He said that his father had no chance to win in the election that he was in, the primaries he was running in, and no one gave him a chance. He was running against an incumbent president, but he won the California and South Dakota primaries before he was assassinated, because he simply started telling people the truth. That's what Kennedy said. Now, whether that's true or not, we can let history decide, but I can tell you that principle, I believe, either qualifies or disqualifies for leadership in this present world system. I believe that.
I totally agree with you, Jeff. Yeah, I think the truth is the issue, and we've said before, you and I both, there's some things in my life I don't agree with myself on a year ago.
That's exactly right.
And what that's saying is God's teaching us. We're okay. Yeah. I was wrong. You don't even have to be grossly wrong. You can just say, plan on that one wasn't right. Wasn't good.
Yeah, exactly.
The honesty and the truthfulness is key.
Yeah. And watch this, Alan. When a president comes out and says, hey, our plan is working, everything's going just exactly according to plan, and you look around and inflation has quadrupled, the economy is falling, we're close to nuclear war, on and on, the culture is deteriorating, our society is degrading, and he says the plan is working, you almost have to say, well, apparently then your plan is to destroy America. That would disqualify you, in my opinion.
I would say you might be a leader, but you're the wrong leader. Jeff, we're out of time. Okay, we are out of time, buddy.
All right.
And let's pick it up here next podcast.
Yeah, let's do.
Pick right
Absolutely.
Back up. I don't think we're done.
Okay. Well, no, we're not. Okay.
Okay, buddy.
All right, bye.
Thank you for joining today's Smith & Rowland Show. You can check out our website at kingdompropheticsociety.org and our daily unplugged podcast at smithandrolandshow.podbean.com. You can also join us on Amazon, Apple, or Spotify.